This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you an in-depth conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a preacher from our half-hour Day One program. For more information about Day One, which brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
Welcome to the Day One podcast extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Dr. Donovan Drake. Donovan is pastor of Trinity Avenue Presbyterian Church in Durham, North Carolina. He's a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary and also earned a Doctor of Ministry degree in preaching from McCormick Theological Seminary. Donovan, welcome. We're glad to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Peter. Thank you.
You are a PK, a preacher's kid. What was it like for you to grow up in that setting? I know you have some wonderful memories.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. My father was a Presbyterian minister, or was a Presbyterian minister for my early childhood, and then he became director of development of a Christian college in Iowa, Northwestern College. When I was in high school, he became a pastor again, and he had a delightful church, Bethany Presbyterian Church in Vincennes, Indiana, and it was a church filled with a lot of elderly folks. And I felt as though I had, 100 grandparents who were always looking out for me. And I can remember going out and helping them mow their lawns or doing odd jobs around their places. I remember a wonderful lady, Lizzie Cullison, who would follow me around as I mowed her lawn. And she would have lawn darts. And wherever I missed, she would throw a lawn dart in the ground. It was quite evident that those were my sins, and I would have to go back and repair them. But just wonderful folks there.
Was there a downside for you to being the son of the pastor? Any fishbowl kind of feeling?
Well, because I came back into it in high school, I didn't tell a lot of my friends that I was a pastor's kid. And I guess I did that because, I wanted to be accepted. I didn't want any special treatment. I didn't have a sense that, that from the church that they were always looking in on me. I just felt like it was a good relationship.
Do you look back on those days when your father was pastoring and think how different things are today for pastors? Is it the same, or are there great differences, do you think?
Probably as a kid, I was oblivious to the many dimensions to my father's work that I now know. Uh-huh. And in some ways, I suppose that connects me more to my father, that he has had to deal with many of the same problems in the church and also many of the same joys. And so I think that is a helpful bond to have. I think, as always, there is a difficulty in Presbyterian or mainline denomination churches in people hearing the word. I think people my age, younger than I am, the words they're getting are from television. Everything's bright, or computers. Everything's bright and quick and fast, and the attention spans are shrinking, I think, daily. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a challenge for pastors in rather mainline churches who don't have the slideshow presentations or the screens up and who can delight the eye. We are in the pulpit preaching the word, and I think we have to be able to make adjustments in how we preach the word so that it tingles the ears and makes people aware that the word of God is being spoken.
And I want to come back to the whole subject of preaching, but while we're still talking about the PK phenomenon, you have children. Are there things that you try to intentionally do to inform them, include them, or protect them in the work that you do?
I think that, I have two delightful kids, and they have embraced the church, and they enjoy being a part of the church. I often, talk about them in my sermons. because they give a childlike perspective on the word that often you know, surprises me and surprises the congregation. I think the most difficult part has been, you know, giving them the freedom to say they don't have to come to every church service or soup night or fellowship dinner night or everything. And yet, by and large, they go to the youth meetings and they attend and they worship and they experience the life of the church. And I'm glad that, you know, I don't have to force them to go, that that's something that they want to do and are excited by it. So they find a community in the church that they want to be a part of.
Let's get back to preaching. You obviously have a lot of interest in preaching. You do it well. You won a preaching prize when you were at Princeton, and you earned a Doctor of Ministry degree just a few years ago, emphasizing preaching. Why has that been a major emphasis or interest in your ministry?
I get very excited when I read the Word and then allow the Word to play on my thoughts and emotions, on my being. I'm very interested in wrestling with the text and allowing the text to push me in places that I wouldn't normally want to go, and then investigating that in preaching, in a sense, in telling the struggle as I preach, telling my struggles, telling the problems that I have with the text, or this allowing people in on this wrestling match, or the enjoyment of the playfulness between what I see in the text and what the text sees in me. And in that that excitement, that's what I want to convey to the congregation is I'm enjoying this, and I want you to enjoy it too. Come along with me on this journey of how the text can play in our lives. And that's what excites me.
And you talked about your mother being a storyteller, a writer, and so forth, and you are really a wonderful storyteller in your sermons. Seems to me Jesus did that a lot as well, told stories. Sometimes you don't get that sense in a lot of preaching today. What do you think about the purpose of storytelling in sermons?
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Jesus told parables. And, you know, if parables were to have like one point, why didn't Jesus just say, don't do this, or why don't you do this? But parables allow us to, it's almost like looking at a piece of art, artwork, a painting. And you may look at that artwork and see something entirely different than what I see. And I think that's how parables and storytelling works. We all come away with something different and meaningful. And yet I think people today, you know, there is also a message of, you know, here are the points. This is what you need to bring home. These are the things, these are the five things that you need to have to understand what this word means. And, you know, so people come home with their five things and, you know, maybe that's a different personality or a different way of being that says, okay, I've got these five things and I'm happy with that. And that's all I need. But I think there are other folks who have personalities who would much rather look at a painting and say, what does this mean for me, and how do I gel with all of this? And and that's kind of my approach to preaching.
Share with us some of your own habits in preparing your sermons each week.
Yeah. Well, I have a music director who keeps me on task. He always wants to know what I'm preaching, you know, a month or two down the road or even farther. And so what that forces me to do is to look ahead at all the texts that we're preaching. I tend to use the lectionary. And I think that early run through of the text and selecting them, not knowing, you know, what I'm going to say yet, but just reading through them, I've got those things playing on in my head right now. And I think that helps me when it comes to that time in which to write the sermon. I've kind of molded over a bit. And so usually the week of, you know, on Monday, I'll look again at the text and get more serious and begin to wrestle with it and be in prayer and try to figure out, you know, what is that thing? What is that kernel that I'm trying to break open, or that log in the middle of the road that I have to move on this text, and where is this, you know, providing me some passion? And when I discover where that passion is, or how that text is hurting me or affecting me or changing me, that's where I want to concentrate the word on. And that way I think I'm able to deliver a sermon that has some passion and meaning, because it's changed me, and so I want it to change the congregation.
You mentioned earlier our short attention spans these days and the world of technology in which we live. Is a person standing in front of a group of people still a relevant communications method in these times?
I think it has become harder in these times, and that is why I think we need, as preachers, to have the ability to keep the listener's ear. And how do we do that? Well, we can do it with story, but I also think that people will pick their ears up and lean forward to those that they believe, who actually believe what they're talking about. Mm. A passion that says, something is being said here, and I want to pay attention. I want to catch every word. And I think that is still relative and very possible. I would say that the flip side of that, where, you know, things are changing all the time, or the speed of the visual media, it has dulled the senses, I think, in many respects. And we have become accustomed to what we can tune out, because most of it is not important. Mm-hmm. And so I think when the preacher can stand up and say something that is important and say it with passion and conviction, people will pay attention.
How do you personally recharge your spiritual and emotional batteries?
I enjoy being with my family. And for me, it is just being at home at night, having time to listen to my kids, enjoying what they are talking about, enjoying my wife and what she has to say. And I also, I pick up a guitar from time to time. I play a few drums. I like to hit the racquetball. I play golf, but I think my golf game is more frustrating than it is enjoyable. I haven't quite figured that one out, but I think all of those things together helps me recharge batteries, reading and looking at poetry, and I do a little bit of watercolor painting, so I'm all over the map on things.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I'll tell my wife that when I get home.
Donovan Drake, thanks so much for visiting with us.
Oh, great, Peter. Thanks. I enjoyed it.